Good evening. I'd like to just bring a thought with you tonight, and that is circumstances keeping your faith through those circumstances. The Bible gives us many examples of people keeping their faith through the most difficult of situations. I'd like you to flip over to Matthew chapter 13. Verses 1 through 2 says, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore." This verse really puts into perspective of how large the crowds really were. There were so many people on the shore, Jesus had to get into a boat on the water just to teach to them. Verses 3 through 8 then says, "And he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow a seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell along rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. When the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown." Okay, so this farmer is sowing his field with some seed. Some of the seed fell on the path, but it was quickly eaten up by the birds. Some of the seed fell on rocky places. It went up quickly, but they were scorched by the sun because they didn't have any roots. Some of the seed fell on thorns. These seeds were choked out by the thorns and died. Finally, the other seeds fell on good soil, and that seed produced a crop. What Jesus is teaching us in this parable, I think, is that the seed is the word and the four soils are people. The first soil, the hard soil, represents someone who is hardened and changed by sin. They hear the word but don't understand it or follow it. The rocky ground is someone who uses God like a genie in a bottle. They're willing to take anything God gives them, but not willing to do their part. They hear the word, but do not let it change their hearts. The thorny ground depicts, I think, a hypocrite, someone who seems to hear the word, but their heart is full of sinful and earthly things. And finally, the good soil is someone who hears, understands, and evangelizes the word. God wants us to be like the good soil. He wants us to hear the word and really soak it up and apply it to our lives. As we looked at these examples of the soils, we could probably all look back and see that we've been all three places. We've been in situations that have left us hardened by sin in life. Looking to the Bible for examples of how to keep our hearts tender and searching for God is one foolproof place to look. God gives us examples of people in the Bible that keep themselves from being hardened by life and the situations it brought, when it would have been very easy to do so. Please turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 41. Verse 40 says, "His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. They ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, then let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. So they went to the Sanhedrin and got flogged because they taught in the name of Christ. Then they left there rejoicing." Rejoicing because they had just been flogged for teaching the word of God. Now if that doesn't motivate you to spread the word of God, I don't know what will. We're more blessed than we realized. Blessed that we are in a place we can spread the word of God freely without being persecuted. As we should do this while rejoicing, because we have the same promise today, the promise of eternal life. 1 John 2:25 says, "And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life." The whole book of Acts, people are trying to persecute the Apostle Paul. Acts 9:29 tells us, "And he was walking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, but they were attempting to put him to death." And in Acts 14:19 it says, "But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead." And again, in Acts 16:22, the crowds rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And the verses keep going on and on and on, with Paul being persecuted. But each time when Paul was being released, he simply moved on to another place. And in each new place, he continued preaching. In Acts 9, he was in Damascus preaching to the Hellenistic Jews, and they eventually tried to kill him. Verse 30 says, "When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus." So he was preaching in Damascus. The Jews then tried to kill him, so he went to Tarsus and began doing what had almost killed him in Damascus. In Acts 14, which I previously read to you, Paul was preaching in Lystra. They stoned him in verse 19. Then directly below that, in verse 20, he says that he left for Derbe the very next day. Another example, perhaps the example of someone keeping their faith through horrific circumstances, would be Job. Job 1 states, "In the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil." The Bible says that Job had 7 sons, 3 daughters, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and a large number of servants. At the end of verse 3, the Bible tells us, "He was the greatest man among all the people of the East." The text says clearly that Job was a great man among the people, but a greater man for God. Perhaps so great that God allowed him to be tested with great trials. He lost his animals, servants, wealth, family, and his own health. When Job's friends heard of this, they went to comfort him. But as he spent more time with him, they started to see his trials and his fault, as if he's committed a crime of some sort. Ellipsis tells him, "Consider now, who being innocent has ever perished? Where were the upright ever destroyed?" Bildad then says, "Surely God does not reject a blameless man, strengthens the hands of evildoers." And the last friend, Zophar, says, "But the eyes of the wicked will fail, and escape will elude them. Their hope will become a dying gasp." They seem like good guys, and they were. Their intentions were to help Job in the best ways possible. Chapter 2, verse 13 says, "Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was." Let me ask you, how many of your friends have ever heard about your troubles and came to help you for 7 days and 7 nights straight? These were good guys with good intentions. But sometimes we look to these friends instead of God because we can physically see them. But like us, they're human. This human part of them is what could have caused Job to stumble, but he did not. What causes us as humans to sin is our sense of unknowing. Not knowing what in the world is happening to us or why God is giving us these trials and hardships. That is where faith kicks in. Like Job, we have to keep our faith strong in God, and God strong through the worst. Even if we lose absolutely everything, we still have to have confidence in God. One of the more well-known verses of the Bible in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, he shall direct your paths." Job lost everything and still trusted in God fully. But there is still one above all others, one that never stumbled, never, and that is Jesus Christ. Think of the things Jesus went through on earth. A friend denied him, another betrayed him, a crowd chose a murderer's life over his. He was beaten, flogged, and the worst of all, crucified. Yet never sinned, he never fell short in any way. Even as he hung on the cross, the Bible tells us in Luke 23:34, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Even after everything the people on earth did to Jesus, he still prays for their forgiveness. Even though we can never be like Jesus Christ or not fall short of God's glory, we as Christians still have to strive to be like Jesus Christ in all circumstances, no matter what the cost, because he gave us life so that we could try.